Little Billy was allowed to sit in his father's place at dinner table one evening when his father was absent. His slightly older sister, resenting the arrangement, said, "So you're the father tonight. All right, how much is 2 times 7? And without a moment's hesitation, Billy replied, "I'm busy. Ask your mother." Today is Father's Day, 2015. And what I'd like to speak on this morning is the marks of a good father. So would you take your Bibles, open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 21. We've been studying 1 Corinthians, and we just so happened to come to this passage this morning. And with this passage, Paul brings to conclusion his section on divisions in the church. He tells them in this section that it is as a concerned father that he writes to them. A concerned father that he writes to them. In fact, in verse 14, if you look there, verse 14, he calls them my beloved children. And in verse 15, he states that you may have 10,000 or countless tutors, but you only have one father, and that be me, he says. In verse 15, and Paul says, of course, he was not their physical father. He was their spiritual father. Verse 15, he states, I became your father through the gospel. Through the gospel. King James says, I have begotten you through the gospel. In like manner, in verse 17, if you look at verse 17, he calls Timothy my faithful and beloved child. Now again, he wasn't Timothy's physical father, because we know in the book of Acts it says that Timothy had a Greek father. But he was Timothy's spiritual father. Now, we don't know if Paul had any children. I don't think that's mentioned any place, if he had any physical children. But he had many spiritual children. And he got these spiritual children, he says, through the gospel. What Paul did is he shared the gospel. He shared the good news. The good news that, you know what, folks? Jesus Christ came and died for our sins. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. That he could connect us back to the Father. That he could, sin had separated us. And Jesus on the cross died for our sins. He was buried, but he didn't stay dead. He came to life again. He walked out of the tomb. He's a living Savior. He conquered death. He conquered sin. And folks, I'll tell you what. He can deliver it. When we repent, when we turn from going our way to go God's way and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes into our heart. Yes. And we are born again. We are born new. Yes. When we receive Christ, he gives to us the gift of eternal life. That's a relationship that begins the moment you and I believe and will never end throughout all eternity. Amen. It's eternal life. And what a great gift that is. Now, how did that happen? He preached the gospel. And when the gospel came together with the Holy Spirit. See, the Word of God comes together with the Spirit of God, and people are born into the family of God. The good news is it has to be combined with the Spirit, because if you preach and the Spirit is not moving, it's dead. Yeah. It won't accomplish anything. Unless the Spirit of God moves in your heart today, you might as well stay at home. But that's why Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. Don't marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so when you get the Word of God or the Gospel of God together with the Spirit of God, people are born into the family of God. And once a child is born, your work is over. Parents, you know, Nikki and Stephen, they had that child last night. You've only just begun. You know, you've only just begun to work. I'll tell you, that's the easy part. Easy for me to say, right? But that's the easy part. I'll tell you, you're feeding that child. And they eat. And then there's the middle of night feedings. And there's a changing of the diapers. And there's a... I'll tell you, when you have a child, the work just begins. And Paul had a lot of spiritual children. And parenting takes work. And Paul, listen, Paul took his role as a spiritual father very seriously. And he writes verses 14 through 21 and reveals four marks of a good father. Four marks of a good father. Now these are marks of a good spiritual father. When, you know what? When we share the gospel with people in the power of the Holy Spirit and people come to know the Lord, you become a spiritual parent. And you got a responsibility to take that person on as their spiritual parent. And these four marks that Paul says, these are for spiritual parents, but they also are for natural or physical parents. These are four marks of a good father. That's what I want to share with you this morning. Mark number one of a good father. A good father loves his children at all times. A good father loves his children at all times. The concept of love permeates all of Paul's letters. Every one of Paul's letters has the word love in it. It throbs. His writing throbs with love. You know what kids need, children need? They need love. Amen. They need love. Three times in our text, the word love or beloved is found. Verse 14, he says, you are my beloved children. Verse 17, he calls Timothy my faithful and beloved child in the Lord. Verse 21, he asks them, when I come to you, do you want me to come with love and a spirit of gentleness? Three times he mentions love. And that's because children need love. He loved them. And Paul loved his children at all times. At all times. The word translated love is the word, and you know it, love and beloved, they all come from the same root. And it's the word, and you know it, agape. And agape love is unconditional, supernatural, constant love. Now, Paul didn't like or accept their behavior. He didn't like what was going on. When he wrote this letter, they were acting like a bunch of big babies. They were fighting and bickering and hurting one another. Parents, let me talk to you. Doesn't it drive you nuts when your kids are at each other? I mean, bickering and fighting and I didn't like that when my kids acted like that. The Corinthians were acting like a bunch of grown-up infants. They were fighting and they were even attacking Paul. They were even coming against Paul. But in spite of how they were acting, he calls them, you're my beloved kids. I love you guys. I really love you. And nothing you do is going to stop me from loving you. You know, folks, that's how our Heavenly Father is.
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Oh, yes.
You know, I always told my sons, and I tell the children of the church, God always loves you. When you do good, God loves you with a love that makes him glad. When you do wrong and when you are bad, God loves you with a love that makes him sad. But I want you to know, God always loves you. That's God. And that's the heart that Paul had for his children, his spiritual children. And dads, and by the way, everything I say about dads relates to parents, so women don't go to sleep. That's how God wants us to be with our kids. We don't accept all their behavior. We don't like some of their behavior. But we love them. Now here's the question. Do they know it? I could ask every dad here, do you love your kids? And every dad would say, Pastor, I love my kids. The question is, do they know it? Have you communicated that to them? And so that leads me to ask, how can we communicate this love to our kids? And let me give you 7 ways. Dads, put them down. 7 ways we communicate that love. We all say, I love them. How do we communicate? First of all, look for the good in them and accentuate the good. That's what Paul did, didn't he? See them in process of becoming and encourage them. That's what Paul did. Paul starts out, again, the Corinthian church was messed up. But he starts out and he says, you know what you guys are? You're saints. You're holy ones. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. And you are gifted of God. The grace of God just has come upon you. You're wonderful in Christ. See, he saw the good and accentuated the good. He starts off that way before he gets into there's some things that need to be corrected. Look for the good and accentuate the good. Number 2, spend time with them. You want to love your kids? You want them to know it? Spend time with them. Well, what should it be, Pastor? Quality time or quantity time? Well, the young lady, her dad asked her. He said, honey, what would you rather me spend with you? Would you rather me spend quality time or quantity time? And she said, well, Dad, I would like you to spend quality time with me, and plenty of it. I'll tell you, when we had our kids, when they were young, I'll never forget my dad, who's now in eternity. He told me time and time again, Les, if there's one thing you do, spend time with your boys. Spend time with your kids. Spend time with them. Les, you're going to blink and they're going to be up. And guess what? They're up. Spend time with your kids. You know, nobody ever on their deathbed said, boy, I wish I'd have spent more time at the office. But I'll tell you what, there's people in this church that have told me, Pastor, I wish I'd have spent more time with my children when they were growing up. You want them to know you love them? Spend time with them. Number 3, provide for their needs. And I probably shouldn't have to say that, but today I have to say that. In our world, I have to say that. Provide for their needs. And I know there's a kind of a balancing act there, because you're out working, providing physically and emotionally for their needs, and you're supposed to spend time with them, and that's tough. But provide for their needs. Let them know that you care, and thank God that you work to help them to grow up. Number 4, communicate with them. Talk with them. You know, Paul did that with his children. He listened to his kids. He communicated with them. And that's what we need to do. We need to communicate with our children. At least try to communicate with your kids. Try. Because it takes 2 to communicate. Yes. And when they get to be teenagers, sometimes it's like Earth to Mars, you know. It's hard to communicate with them because it takes 2 to communicate. But as far as you, talk to your kids. And I'll tell you what, About love? Tell them you love them. You know, there was a day, and my dad grew up in that generation, and some of you grew up in that generation, you just didn't never say, I love you. Or give them a hug. I know people in this church feel very uncomfortable, but just go up and hug them. And I know you got to watch that today. But I don't care. I tell my kids almost every time I see them, I love you. Because I do. I don't want to die and then not know that I loved them. Now, it's not just by what I say, but I'm going to tell them. And I'm going to hug them. We do this thing. I won't get into that. We go, whew! It's a guy thing, you know. I mean, anyhow, tell them you love them. Communicate. Number five, have fun with them. Have fun with them. Play with your kids, you know. I mean, that's really something. I don't know, you say, well, did Paul do that with his spiritual children? I don't know. I mean, it's not in there, but I think when he discipled his disciples, when he was with his children, I think they had fun. I think it was not just all, okay, sit down and I'm going to tell you what scripture here is. And I think they had some interaction and had some fun. Amen. I remember Jim Dobson back years at Focus on the Family said one of the most important things a dad can do is play with his kids. Get down on the floor and wrestle with your boys. You know, play with them. You know, get out and throw some football, whatever. That's important. That you have fun with your kids. And that's important. Number six, extend grace and forgiveness as they mess up. And when you mess up, ask forgiveness. This is important. Extend grace and forgiveness when they mess up. That is so important. There was a man, a father, lived in Madrid, Spain, that I read about. And as his son grew up, their relationship became strained, and then finally, there was a broken relationship. And the son, as a teenager, left home. Father had not seen his son for 3 years. And he said, this is enough. I have to do something here. So he went to look for his son. He tried all kinds of ways to try to find him. Couldn't find him. So as a last-ditch effort, what he did was he put an advertisement in the newspaper, in the Madrid newspaper. And the advertisement read like this. This was what he put in. Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. At noon that Saturday, 300 Pacos showed up in front of the newspaper. I'm going to tell you, folks, to have, you know, God's gracious. God's a forgiving God. And if we're going to love our kids, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Your kids are going to mess up. But isn't that a revelation? And you're going to mess up too. So extend that forgiveness and grace to them. And when you mess up, ask forgiveness. Usually kids are real quick to forgive. It's us that sometimes holds that grudge. I was just looking, I just thought about this morning. This came to me. It's very interesting when it talks about when Jesus comes back. And before he comes back, Elijah's going to come. And this always intrigued me. And I don't know if I'm still getting it right. But you know when one thing he's going to do? He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children. And turn the children's heart back to their father. Wow. Number seven, pray for your kids. Pray for your kids. Better yet, pray with your kids. Pray with them. Paul always prayed for his children. You know, I thought I'd put this down in my notes back when our boys were young. I was praying with one of them, and I can't remember which one it was. But when I finished, he looked up at me and said this, "Dad, why are your prayers so long?" And I said, "I guess I'm just a long-winded preacher." And he responded, "Yeah, I guess." No, I'm going to pray for my boys until the day I die. By God's grace, I'm going to pray for them every day. I'm going to mention them to the Lord. And one way we can love our kids is pray for them, pray with them. You know, I love my kids. You love your children. Do they know it? Do they know it? Because a good father loves his children at all times. Number two, a good father teaches and admonishes his children. Verse 14, he says, "I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you." And again, he didn't write the first four chapters of this letter to shame or embarrass the Corinthian Christians. A father doesn't do that. A good father does not embarrass his children, does not ridicule them in public. Again, in Ephesians, it says, do not provoke your children to wrath or to anger. And a good father doesn't do that. Paul was writing as a concerned father who loved them to warn them, to admonish them. The word admonish or warn is the same word that's translated admonition over in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's this word, admonition. And it's a very interesting word. It comes from two words. It comes from the word nous, which is mind, and tithemi, which is to put. Literally, it means to put into the mind or to put sense into the head. That's what we're to do as fathers. Put sense into the head. In our context, it means to do this constantly. A good father warns his children of the dangers and pitfalls of life. He warns his children about sin and the consequences of sin. Whether they're children, whether they're new Christians or our own physical children, they need to be taught, they need to be warned. How does Paul do this? With the Word of God. With the Word of God. He shares with them the Word of God. If ever our children needed the Word of God, it's today. It's today. Society is not teaching them what is right and wrong. Amen. Public school is not teaching them what is right and wrong. TV and the media are not teaching them what is right and wrong. In fact, society, public school, media is teaching them just the opposite. Whatever God's word says, they say, no, do this. And what they need today is the word of God. Paul spent 18 months with them in Corinth the first time when he planted that church, teaching them the word of God. He continued to teach through his letters, and when he could not come himself, he sent others to teach. Verse 17, he says, I sent you Timothy, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach in every church. I can't come now, but I'm sending Timothy to teach you. Now again, my question was, how do you do that? How do we teach and admonish our kids? Well, let me give you four ways. First of all, you can teach them formally. You can sit down and open up the Bible or get some material from the Christian bookstore and teach them the principles of God. We call that in our home, we call it the quiet time. Sitting down and teaching in your home formally. You can do it informally. And this is, I think this is great. Deuteronomy 6 says, Teach them when you sit down, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you get up, when you walk in the way. Be always, always ready for a teachable moment. And with kids, there's so many teachable moments. Do you know, and I was talking to my wife when we had our time together in the Word yesterday. We were talking about everything out there screams God. Everything in creation, everything around us, God is speaking. And you know, kids ask questions. You know, what's that? Why is that like this? Why? Beautiful times to just bring God into the picture. Amen. We're down at the beach, first night down there. That first night down there was the only night that it rained. It rained for 10 minutes. Beautiful rainbow all across the ocean. Beautiful colors. You know, what a great time to say, you know why that's out there? To my granddaughters, you know why that's out there? Scientifically, I can tell you why it's out there. But let me tell you spiritually why it's out there. Because God put it out there to remind us that all his promises are good as gold. Amen. He will keep every promise. He put that bow in the sky just to remind us of that. What a great time to teach. We had a quiet time each day where we'd invite the family to come. Taught about nature, about the sea. You know, God made that water out there. I mean, you can teach them formally, you can teach them informally. Here's a third way. And parents, will you listen to me? You can bring them to Sunday school. Did you hear me? I didn't say send them. Bring them. Bring them to Sunday school. How many times, and I've probably said this a number of times, but I would try to teach my kids. Linda would try to teach our kids. And sometimes it would go right in here and right out there. And then they come to church and their Sunday school teacher or their youth pastor, Jesse, would say the same thing that we'd be saying. And they come home and I had an epiphany. You know, Pastor Jesse said, I'm supposed to read my Bible every day. I'm starting right now. Your mother and I have been teaching that to you for 10 years. But somebody else said it. And you know what? It got in their heart. I'm thankful for the teachers we have in this church. We have the best teachers of any church in Northeast Ohio. No way you can check that out, but I believe that. I do. And you know, if you fail to bring your kids to Sunday school, you're missing out. And dads, I'm going to tell you are the one to be the initiator in that. Not mom. Come on, we got to go, honey. No, no, no. We're going to church, and I'm getting these kids in Sunday school. I'm getting these kids with the best youth pastor in the state of Ohio. The teacher's not fluff, teaches real Bible. And I'll tell you, I'm humble enough, I need all the help I can get. Amen. And I'm just encouraging. Now we're in the summer, so we don't have Sunday school. But when it starts in September, one way you can teach them is to get them on. You know, Paul didn't do all the teaching to his kids. He sent Timothy. And maybe some of them wouldn't listen to Paul, but they listened to Timothy. And he sent others. You know, when he couldn't be, he sent others. Formally, informally, through Sunday school. And one other way I thought of, we can teach. Very important. Through music. Through Christian music. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another how? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Listening to good Christian music can sometimes get, especially our teenagers. We were going down to the beach and my son Josh drove and he had, it's Pandora? Pandora, there he is. Had Pandora on. Had all the Christian songs. Man, they were good songs. We listen to all the way down, listen to Christian music, just singing Christian music. That is great. I'll tell you, I have a habit when I drive, I sing. And when my kids were little and I drove them to school, I would sing. I'll tell you, I taught them how to endure pain. Through the Word of God and singing. It is a great way to teach. You know, I thought of an example. Again, if there's ever a time when we need to teach and admonish our kids, it's today. It's today. And I thought of the example of in the Old Testament of Daniel. How Daniel was snatched out of a godly environment, I believe a godly environment in a home, and taken into a foreign land, into an ungodly environment. And yet Daniel, some way, had the fortitude, had the courage, had the boldness to stand up and say, I purpose in my heart that I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not compromising. Where'd that come from? I know we're not told. I am going to assume. It wasn't in that there was an ungodly environment in Jerusalem, too. I'm assuming that he had a godly mom and dad that taught him the Word of God. And so as a teenager, he could dare to be a Daniel. He could dare to stand alone. He could dare to stand in the face of immorality and say, I'm not defiling myself. This is important. A good father loves his children at all times. A good father teaches and admonishes his children. But number three, a good father is an example for his children. Now, I want to just first of all mention just an observation from life. Here it is. Children are, in general, natural mimics. They are natural mimics. They imitate what they see, whether good or bad. Children learn and pick up from us words that we use, things that we do, and how we relate to people. Parents, dads, you don't need a classroom. Life is a classroom. And they watch. Someone said children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. Right. Let me give you an illustration. President of the United States, Calvin Coolidge, back in the 1920s, invited a group of children to come to the White House. Well, these children were kind of intimidated. They didn't know how to act in a situation like that. They'd never been invited by the president into the White House to eat. So what they determined beforehand to do is to watch the president and to do exactly what he did. So if he'd pick up a spoon to eat, they'd pick up their spoon and eat. If he cut his meat in a certain way, they would cut their meat in a certain way. Well, they watched and they did. And then the meal came to an end and they were served tea. And so when the president got his tea, he took his teacup and he poured tea into the saucer. So the kids were watching. They took their teacup, poured tea into the saucer. Then he took cream and put cream and sugar into the tea that was in his saucer. And most of the children did the same thing. They were expecting him, his next motion, to pick up the saucer and sip from the saucer. But he didn't do that. He picked up the saucer and put it on the floor and called the cat. Folks, children are natural mimics, imitators. Now, having that observation from life, Paul gives an exhortation from life. Look at verse 16. Therefore, since I'm your father, therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. King James, be followers. Followers, imitate me. The word is mimetai, the word which we get our English word mimic. Mimic me. Copy me. And this is not the only church that Paul gives that exhortation to. In 2 Thessalonians 3:7, he says to the Thessalonian church, you ought to follow our example. To the Philippian church in Philippians 4:9, he says, the things that you have learned and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, he says, he tells his children, copy me, mimic me, follow me. Now I thought, it takes a spiritual man to say that. But a good, listen, a good father does not say, do as I say. A good father says, do as I do. Amen. Watch me. He strives to be a model of the Word of God for his family and his kids. Because he knows the truth. You know what he knows? Christianity is more caught than taught. Yes. Christianity is more caught than taught. They watch. And so look at verse 17. Look at this. Paul says, I am sending Timothy to you, and he will remind you of all my teaching. Is that what he said? Oh, no. He says, Timothy will remind you of all my ways, which lined up with what I taught in every church. See, he's saying, I teach this stuff, but my life lines up with what I'm teaching. Wow. Follow me. Mimic me. Copy me. A little girl was walking with her daddy one day. And they were walking through the garden. And it had rained. The garden was muddy. And so the dad was trying to avoid stepping in the mud. And his little daughter walked behind him and put her feet right where he stepped. And she said this, Daddy, if you don't get your feet dirty, I won't get my feet dirty either. Yes. They're watching. And we got to watch where we put our feet. Our kids, I guess I have to, and this is very convicting to me, but if my boys grow up just to be like me, is that okay? Is that okay? A good dad lives the way he wants his kids to grow up. If they grow up to be just like me, would I be satisfied with that? What a challenge. I'll tell you what, Dad, if that doesn't drive you and me to our knees, nothing will. Nothing will. A good dad loves his kids at all times. A good dad teaches and admonishes his children. That's his responsibility, not mom's. His responsibility. A good dad is an example. Follow me. Follow in my footsteps. Copy me. And number four, a good father consistently disciplines his children. And again, in verses 18 through 21, Paul is confronting sin. I mean, Paul loved these guys. He loved his children. But love is not blind sentimentalism. It was love that knew that sometimes discipline is necessary, and he was prepared to exercise it. They thought that sending Timothy and writing the letter was Paul's way of kind of copping out. Paul was afraid to come and face them. That's what they thought. But he tells them, no. I'm going to come to you. I am going to come to you if the Lord wills. Verse 19, I will come to you soon if the Lord wills. And basically, he tells them, I'm not concerned so much about your words. I am concerned about your life. The power in your life. Because he says, the kingdom of God does not consist of words, but in power. So you can talk a good talk. Sometimes we as Christians, we talk a good talk and our lives are a mess. And some of these people at Corinth, I mean, they talked the talk, man. But their life didn't back it up. And Paul said, that's what I want to know. I want to see God's power in your life, Dad. Kids don't want to just hear the talk. They want to see the walk. And then Paul says, verse 20, look at verse 20. You got a choice. And sometimes we got to say this to our kids. You got a choice. The Corinthians were living as carnal Christians, fighting, feuding, bickering, backbiting, filled with arrogance. And a result, there were cracks and cliques in the church. And Paul says, you need to repent and be what God wants you to be in Christ. You need to start walking in the Spirit, living for God, because I'm ready to come to discipline you if need be. Part of loving our kids is disciplining our kids. Part of loving our kids is discipline. And dads, we need to do that. Now, when they grow up, it becomes different. I can't spank my boys anymore. I'd be afraid to. But sometimes we got to practice tough love. And that's tough. That's tough. But Paul says, verse 21, what do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? You got a choice. You want a licking or do you want love? Do you want a spanking or do you want a spirit of gentleness? Do you want delight or do you want discipline? It's your choice. And sometimes we need to do that with our children. Give them a choice. Amen. You want this or do you want this? You do this. I remember a guy in our church getting up, and some of you remember this. And he said, with my parents, it was obey or pay, and there ain't no shade of gray. Yep. And sometimes you obey, there you go. You disobey, there's going to be discipline. And you think about it, folks. This is how God treats us. God always loves us. God, through his word, teaches and admonishes us. God, the Lord Jesus, was an example for us that we would follow in his steps. And God loves you and me enough to discipline us. Amen. When we get off base. And that's the marks of a good father. R.A. Torrey was a prominent minister back in the last century. And someone asked R.A. Torrey to go and visit a woman and share Christ with her. This woman was a principal in a local school. So R.A. Torrey called and got an appointment and went and visited with this woman and shared Jesus Christ with her. And she listened, and then she said this, I don't believe any of it. I don't believe the Bible. And, you know, to go to church, I would feel like a hypocrite because I don't believe it. But R.A. Torrey continued to talk with her, and as he continued to talk, he noticed that there were tears starting to form in her eyes. He said, what's this? What's going on? Something's going on. And she said, well, she said, there's one thing I can't get over. You may not know this, but my father was a minister of the gospel. And my father lived a godly life. And when I think of my father's life, I think there must be something true to Christianity. I can't get over my father's life. And R.A. Torrey went from there and led her to Christ. Dads, I want to say something to you. Listen to me. There's only one perfect father. Our Heavenly Father. But men, let's live our lives in such a way, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that our kids can't get over them. Can't get over that life. And that our lives would point our kids to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just bow before you today. And Lord, I know for me these are challenging words. Lord, I see all the places where I fell short and where sometimes I fell short today, Lord. But God, help us to be fathers that will communicate, not just love, but somehow communicate that love to our kids. That we'd continue to teach and admonish. That we would strive by the power of the Holy Spirit to live an example and say, follow me as I follow Christ. And that when necessary, Lord, we would discipline our kids so that they might learn to fear God and walk in your ways. Lord, we fathers, we parents need your help. And we pray that you would help us to do this and to point our children to the only one that can meet all of their needs. And that's you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'm going to ask as we sing our last hymn, I'm going to ask fathers, men, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And let me tell you why. Three things. You're a father here, you've never accepted Christ. No way you're going to be all that you should be without the help of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to come and receive him. Fathers, you're here. And you realize your need and your help. Or grandfathers, your need, your help for help from the Lord. And you come and you say, Lord, I need your help. I'm humbling myself. I want to be the best father, the best grandfather that I can be for you. You help me, Lord. And just to humble ourselves before God and just say, come, Lord, fill me so that I can do this. I'm going to ask you, come forward, just stand here. Pray for, and that third reason, pray for your family. Fathers, you're the leader. You're the leader. Pray for your family. Come to the altar, pray for your family, and just stand here. And then when we're finished singing, I'm going to have a prayer over you. Just ask God to help you to do this. Would you stand now as we sing our last song?